If you have your Bible with you tonight, let's turn, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and to chapter 34. And we thank Mr. Greer for his gracious words of welcome again tonight to the pulpit. It's a great joy and a privilege, as I've said this week, to be back in Ballymena. And I would like to thank the Youth Committee for their invitation to come along to take these meetings. When Mr. Greer rang me to ask me, I was greatly humbled to be asked to come back and to take these meetings. It has been a great privilege and an honour under Christ to open the Bible and to be able to bring the Word of God. And I want to thank the Youth Committee very much indeed. Thank the Reverend Greer and you all for your very gracious words of welcome. I'd like to thank some other people. I'd like to thank everybody that sang this week. It was excellent every night. Tremendous singing. Very, very good. And to everybody tonight and to the two that sang tonight, that was brilliant. So thank you very, very much indeed. And thank especially those who worked so hard for these meetings, bringing others in, asking people to come along. I want to thank you in the Savior's dear name. And I trust that not only in these meetings, but in other meetings to come, that the Lord will bless those labors as you seek to get people under the Word of God. And as I said last night, you could just be the link in that chain. You could be the one that brings them through those doors, and they'll hear words whereby they're saved. It's a wonderful thing to be part of that. And may the Lord bless all you young people, give you that desire to keep doing that week by week, sending your text, lifting that phone, ringing people, get them into the meetings. And we trust the Lord will give you all the joy of seeing friends and loved ones all gathered safely into Christ. Deuteronomy chapter 34, please. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Reading together, please, from verse number 1. Deuteronomy 34, verse number 1, let us hear the word of God. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abram, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth-peor. But no man knoweth of the sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses has laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's just unite our hearts together, please, in a moment's prayer. Just in the quietness of these moments, as we're before the Lord. And as I've said on other nights, all too soon the benediction will be pronounced. All too soon this worship service will have come to a close. All too soon, the time around the Word of God will be over. Therefore, let's just pray. You that know the Lord, pray that the Lord will draw near. Speak to your heart. Speak to the heart of every individual bowed in this house tonight. Let's all unite our hearts together. Let us all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of His blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. We thank Thee for the Son of God that loved the church and gave Himself for it. Thank Thee for the One that came in the fullness of time, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And we come into Thy presence. We thank Thee, O God, for all that has taken place in this meeting already. We thank Thee for the great old gospel hymns that we have had the privilege of singing. Thank Thee for the offering of prayer. Thank Thee for those messages and songs that have been brought to us by our two young people. But, O God, as we stand now on the threshold of the preaching of the everlasting gospel of the everlasting God, we pray, O God, for the help of heaven. We have no desire to go through this meeting and pronounce a final amen and go on our way. We desire to meet with God. We desire that Thy presence will intensify. And therefore, Father, we stand by faith into the victory of the cross, and we plead the blood of the Lamb. We pray that over this meeting will come the superintending, sovereign power of the Holy Ghost Himself. Thou alone knowest the hearts of all that are gathered. And we pray tonight that the Spirit will do His work, and that great glory and honor will be brought to Jesus Christ in this meeting. Bind the devil and every power of darkness. Let the blood prevail. And I confess before heaven and before this gathered congregation my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing. Grant that holy baptism which the Lord alone does give, the baptism to preach and the baptism to hear with profit. Hear prayer now, for we ask it in Jesus' blessed and in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Tonight in this meeting, as I wondered how I would draw this meeting to a close, my mind was drawn to the day when Moses died, to the day when Moses left this scene of time. As one said of that day, when Moses' work was done, when the work that he came for was completed, it was time for Moses to depart. Another said of the service of God's people, God's children should be ill rewarded if they must stay here always. The death of God's saints is not only a precious thing, as the psalmist said, but it is a certain thing. The Bible many times declares to us and shows us how many of the Lord's people died, how their final moments were spent upon this earth. We think of Jacob in Genesis 48, as he and his family gathered around him, and he said, behold, I die. The great apostle Paul and missionary of the cross, he put it a different way, but really he was saying the same thing. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Samson, that other great hero of the faith there, mentioned in Hebrews 11, he cried, let me die with the Philistines. Joseph, when he died, he gave commandment about his burial. Stephen, that lovely New Testament character, when he came to die, he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And our Lord Himself, on that middle tree at Golgotha, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. This night, in this meeting, this final meeting, I want to look with you at the death of Moses, the man of God. The death of Moses, the man of God. The first thing I want to show you about that is a very simple little thought, and it is the reason for Moses' death. The reason for Moses' death is the reason for all our deaths. Paul put it like this in Romans chapter 5, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And from that moment when Adam sinned, the journey of life is a journey to eternity. Moses, though a great man, and a great man that he was in a world where death had come by sin. As I already told you, that great statement that sorts it all out for us in Romans 5 verse 12, death passed upon all men because all have sinned. We sinned in Adam. We sinned in him. We fell with him in his great transgression. That day when Adam fell from that high and that holy estate in which he was created. And I say again, Adam, the representative of us all, of all his posterity. We were in him naturally. We were in him federally. And so sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Death come into this world. Death come into this world by Adam. Death passed upon all men. And as I have said, life is a journey to eternity. But I want you to understand, I want you to understand that in Romans 5 verse 12, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, that was the moment when death came. Now understand that. We hear today all this rubbish. Fossils. Billions of years old. Millions of years before man was upon earth. Let's just nail it. Fossils. To get fossils, animals must die, and nothing and nobody died before Adam sinned. Fact. So forget about the rubbish of this death on earth before Adam sinned. It didn't happen. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Moses here in Deuteronomy 34 is going no further. His race is run. His work is done. He can't enter the promised land. Joshua will take them over Jordan. But Moses now is on the verge of a better country. Moses now in Deuteronomy 34 is on the verge of glory. Dear people, that's a marvelous thing. When the end of the life comes, the end of the journey, and one departs to glory. That's where Moses is here. Deuteronomy 34, he's on the verge of glory. What about some details about his death? The place of it. Look at verse number 1. Deuteronomy 34, verse 1. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that's over against Jericho. Moses must go up to Mount Nebo and die. Now, dear people, I want you to understand this. Some die in the field. Moses dies in the mount. Some die in their bed. Some die in the seas. Some die in the workplace. Some die in the battlefields of the world. Some die in the road, but all die. And all die in the place that was appointed. Go back one chapter, two chapters to Deuteronomy 32. Look with me at verse 48 to 50. 48 to 50 of Deuteronomy 32. Here's the Lord telling Moses that the end of the journey has come. Verse 48, and the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I gave unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people. I want you to understand something, young people, tonight. The place of Moses' death and the circumstances of it are all planned by the Lord. And therefore we glean something very clear here, that the very place of our death, now understand this, think about this a moment, is already planned by the Lord. Where Tom Laverty will die is already planned by the Lord. The Lord has said to Moses here, come up into the mountain, get thee up into the mountain and die in the mount, the place of it. The Lord shows him it. The time of it. Look at verse 50 there of chapter 32 again. The time of Moses' death here. And die in the mount, whether thou goest up and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. See it? The place is clear. The timing of it's clear. And you all know it's appointed unto men once to die. But the timing, the place is all arranged by the Lord. It's all by divine decree. As one writer said, he who brought us into this world will take us out of it. Moses has been told here by the Lord, this is it. This is as far as you go, Moses. Your little time in the world stage is over. He reminds him in verse 50, Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor and was gathered unto his people. His brother Aaron's already dead. And now it's Moses' time to leave the world stage. The Lord's saying, Moses, your time on the world stage is over. It's over, Moses. Your years have come to a close. Plenty of application here. Dear child of God tonight, what you're going to do for God, do it now. Do it now. It was Ezra that put it like this. Now for a little moment, space has been given you. Young Christian, this is your moment upon the world stage to serve the Lord Christ. The places of your death, it's set. The timing of it is set. And I say to you tonight, in the final night of this week of meetings, what you're going to do for Christ, do it now. Do it now. You're going no further, Moses. To the unsaved, the time to get right with God is now. Because neither you nor I have any idea what tomorrow brings. Forget about tomorrow. None of us have any idea what tonight brings. We live as mortal people. We only see it as it unfolds. The Lord sent Moses here. Moses, your little time in the world stage is over. Your brother Aaron has died. And now, Moses, you must die. It's not the way it is. One member of the family goes first. But all go. All reach the place. But God said, all reach this time. I don't know if it's done so much now, but family plots used to be a very big thing in this country. Each family would buy a plot to be buried in. And one by one, the family would fill the grave. One by one, their time on the world stage would close. The curtain would come down on their little existence. You're going no further, Moses. Moses must ascend up the hill and die. God calls him up to the mountain. But I want you to think about it for Moses. There's no sting in this for Moses. Moses is about to be transported to heaven. I want you to understand that, dear believer. One moment, we're here. The next moment, we're in glory. Absent in the body, present with the Lord. It was Matthew Henry that said, speaking of the believer putting off the tabernacle, soon the nails and pins will be drawn, and the cords will be loosed. The believer will put off this tabernacle and put on immortality. Absent the body, present with the Lord, the place, the time. What about the years of Moses? Go back with me to Deuteronomy 34, verse number 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now in this study, in the first night, we looked at the first 40 years. And they ended. The next night and the following night, we looked at the next 40 years. And they ended. And last night and the night before, we were at the commencement of the final 40 years of Moses' life. But understand this, dear people, understand it now. The first 40 ended. The next 40 ended. The final 40 here are ending. It's all coming to a close. And understand that's the way it is. You grow out of childhood. And young teenagers, you'll grow out of your teenage years too, if God spares you. And life continues. Life continues taking you down that journey to the grave. They all come to the end of the journey. We all come to the end of the road. Again, there's plenty of application. Let me start with the believer. You make sure when you get to the end of the road, because it's at the end of the road that the Lord makes this glorious statement about Moses. You make sure that when your name's thought of, that your testimony will be bright and clear for the Lord. Look what the Lord said at verse 10 of chapter 34. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. There arose not a prophet, mighty prophet. There arose not a prophet like in Israel, whom the Lord knew face to face, mighty in prayer. There is the mind of God on that man's life. There arose nobody like him. Now, he wasn't a perfect man. But if you follow that even through to Hebrews, and Hebrews tells us Moses was faithful in all his house. Everything the Lord asked Moses to do, and he could do for the Lord, he was faithful. One word summed him up. Faithful. That's all the Lord asked him.
that we be faithful.
That we be faithful to Him that called us. You think of other men's testimonies. We don't have time to go to them. Nehemiah 9, Abraham, a faithful heart he had. Or Acts 20, whenever Paul was leaving Ephesus, and he was able to say to the elders in Ephesus, I am free from the blood of all men. Why? Because Paul told them the truth. He preached the gospel to them. He was free from the blood of all men. He faithfully warned them. He brought the claims of Christ upon them. He dealt with the souls of men faithfully and fearlessly. And I say to you young people, as you think about your life, what you do for the Lord, you do it with all your might. Because we are seeing tonight, all too soon, this is all going to end. Life goes by like that. I actually can't believe that I am 50 in about 2 or 3 months. And I don't say that. I remember walking out of school like yesterday. That was 34 years ago. Where did that go? Where did that go? I tell you where it went. It went into eternity and it's not coming back. It's not coming back to me. This summed Moses up. He was faithful. And I'm saying to you, whatever you do, whatever you do in life, you do it unto the Lord, because all too soon, my young friend, you and me will be off the world stage. We'll be off it. But that was the Lord's mind in Moses. And you make sure those great words, Matthew 25, well done, good and faithful servant. Whether it's in the local church, attendance in the prayer meetings, the open air, whatever you can do to advance Christ's kingdom on earth, do it. Because I'm saying to you now, without fear of contradiction, you're brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's your moment. It's your moment. It's your moment to serve the Lord Christ. This great privilege that God has given every one of us to do something for God on earth. Listen, before we go to be with Him in eternity, it's a marvelous thing to have that honor to serve Christ on earth. And death come and go to be with Him forevermore. Hear the well done of God. Because meet the Lord, you and me well. As sure as I look at you and you look at me, we'll meet the Lord. Every one of us, by the way. Dear believer, you'll meet Him as your King, your Savior. Unsaved friend, don't die out of Christ because you'll meet Him as your Judge. Place, the time, the testimony, the burial. Deuteronomy 34, verse 5 and 6. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Do you see that? Do not rush over that. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, just as the Lord said it would be. Just as the Lord said it would be, just in the place the Lord said it would be, just according to the word of God. That's the way it always is. Man can scheme and plan all they want. It'll be as the Lord says it'll be. What a burial. The Lord buried Moses. The Lord buried Moses. And nobody knows to this day where that grave is. The Lord of life so preserved that place. The book of Jude tells us that even Michael the archangel was sent to protect it against Satan's efforts to find it. The Lord buried him. What a fulfilling of that promise. He looked at that promise last night. Certainly I'll be with thee, Moses. Right to the very end. Right to the very burial. See, I want you to understand something. I'm sure you all know it. When that body of a Christian, a believer, is laid into Mother Earth, that body is still united to Christ. Those Westminster divines that met in the Jerusalem chamber to draw up our catechisms and our creeds, they just summed it up perfectly. The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness. Do immediately pass into glory, but their bodies, being still united to Christ, rests. It's not the final place. Rests in the grave until the resurrection. That's the moment they await. That body awaits, still united to Christ, awaits the resurrection. That body, that precious thing, because it wasn't only the soul that was redeemed, it was the body also, redeemed by the blood of Christ. That body laid into Mother Earth. When's the next time we see Moses? Go to Matthew 17. You see, it was only the end of his time on earth. I told you this the other night. I'll tell you it all again. Young people, you're alive tonight and you're alive forevermore. You're alive forevermore. We'll all change our abode, but nobody's gone out of existence. Don't you believe that lie of those cults, for that's what that is. We bring our little ones into this world. They bring great joy to a family. But when they come into this world, there's one brought in that'll see the sun and moon quenched at the last day. They're alive forevermore. Never go out of existence. You wonder why we preach. People wonder why the church prays. And why this church goes into Ballymena Town Centre on a Friday afternoon? Because man lives forevermore. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, here's our Lord's ministry. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. Do you see it? Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. Now, I want you to understand something here. Peter, Moses died 1,500 years before this moment. Mount Nebo, where we're at tonight, was 1,500 years or thereabouts before this moment. But Peter recognizes them, both Moses and Elijah. And as I'm sure you all know, you can back up your belief and our doctrine that we will know each other in heaven. You'll see your loved ones.
those that have gone on before, as Aaron went on before Moses. And here's Moses and Elijah down onto the Mount of Transfiguration, seen alive by Peter, James, and John. Oh, understand this, dear people. Understand this now. Here's the great preview of heaven, that glorified state. But young person, let me say something very serious. Your loved ones will only know you in heaven if you go to heaven. To the unsaved in this meeting, maybe with loved ones already in the glory, and they'll know you if you go there. But at this moment, you're not on your way. And you need to see this a moment. You need to see this thought of this need to prepare to go home, prepare for heaven. Believers in heaven, conscious. But oh, my friend, understand something. The lost in hell, conscious. In Luke's gospel, our Lord, and it was only our Lord could preach it, because it's only our Lord that knows. And he told of two men, and both of them died, and both of them are conscious, and may I add, they're still conscious. But their condition couldn't be more different. One of them is comforted. Isn't that beautiful? Those that are took to glory, they're comforted by the Lord. But our Lord Jesus, as he drew back the veil just a little, he told us of another man that's tormented in the flame. And I just want to put it to you like this, my friend. Eternity will be one or the other for the inhabitants of earth. Comforted or tormented. Saved or lost. Welcomed home to glory or cast away from Christ. Down the road from where I preach in Liverpool's the city of Chester. It's a very ancient city. Mentioned him earlier, the great Bible commentator Matthew Henry preached in it for many years. He said this, it's the hell of hell to be sent away from Christ, to be cast away forevermore. The reality is, young people, sin has come and death has come. The place is set where you and I'll die. The timing of it is set. We won't go past it. But I want you to understand something. In these moments, you need to let these truths come to your soul wherever you stand in this meeting, especially without Christ. You need to understand that you're not coming this way twice. You go this journey once. Oh, for the believer, Paul could say, as he did one day, he wrote to those Christians in Philippi. You know what he said? Beautiful words. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He's in a situation there. He's caught betwixt two situations. Desire to go to be with Christ. Desire to see Him. What I'm about to say, I say before God here, I'm not trying to be pious. I say it's true. I can't wait to see Him. Never feel Him again. Never handle situations badly again. Be home. See the Christ. Never be out of His presence. Young believer, never keep those thoughts absent from your mind. Doesn't mean that we be like Elijah and want to die, you know, like at that time when he was hunted. There's nothing wrong with longing to be with your Christ. That would be natural. To be with the one you love. But my friend, maybe some young people across this meeting still not ready for this moment. And the place is set and you're not ready. And the time's set and you're not ready. And the death and all about it that's going to happen for you will be according to the word of the Lord, and it's completely out of your control. We understand that. Your death is not designed by God to be suitable to your plans. Your death is designed by God to fit into His plans. The place is set. The timing is set. And I say to you that you need to do what every sinner has done that was ever saved from Adam. You need to get to Jesus Christ. I'm just going to put a wee aside here because I think I need to. Anybody that has ever been saved has been saved by Christ. They were not saved differently in the Old Testament than they are in the New. Peter summed it up in Acts 10:43 when he went to the first Gentile congregation, and you know what he said to them? To Christ give all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in Him would have the remission of sins. And in that sermon, and we don't have time to go to it, but Peter presented them a holy life. My friend, unsaved, there's a life that'll cover your life of sin. He took them to a cross. Sinner friend, there's blood that'll wash you clean. He showed them an empty tomb. That great glorious resurrection, the great evidence to the world that God accepted the sacrifice of Christ as a payment for sin, and whoever trusts in Him, listen, will receive remission of sins. I couldn't care less what your sin is. Whosoever, and this has been the message from Adam to now, To him gave all the prophets witness that whosoever believeth in Christ would have the remission of sins. Whenever it says believeth in Christ, when I'm closing, doesn't mean just, I believe in God. That's not what it means. It means recognizing that Christ is your only hope and looking away from everything else and everybody else and resting your hope for eternity on the finished work of Christ. I couldn't put it better than John Bunyan put it. Upon a life I didn't live, a death I didn't die, Christ's life, Christ's death, I rest my whole eternity. The unsaved friend, see it tonight. Like Moses, the place is set. Like Moses, the time is set. It'll be according to the word of the Lord. It's not going to change. But you look to Christ and rest on him. We are told throughout the book from Genesis to Revelation that though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. You know the Lord said? Paul actually quoted it to the Hebrews. He was quoting from the Psalms. Here's a word for any sinner in this meeting without Christ. See, if you come to Christ, turning from sin, embracing the Christ, the Lord says, your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Only the gospel gives that. But it does give it. Gone. Blotted out. Put away. Because Christ so put away sin at that cross, so paid for it in full, that the Father's pleased to say to all that come, your sins and iniquity I'll remember no more, because my Son has paid for them. Closing. Place of your death, like Moses, is set by God. The timing of it is set by God. But the getting ready for it has been prepared by God when he sent his Son to live for sinners and to die for them. And that all who trust him might depart to be with Christ, which is eternally far better. I go back to Liverpool in the morning in the will of the Lord. I said this in this church 3 years ago. My farewell service, I'll say it again tonight. Because who knows? We never meet again this side of eternity. Will I meet you in glory? I pray to God I do. I would give anything to do it. Moses, that great man of God, but a man nonetheless, a mortal man, died and went to glory. May it be so for us all.